I knew Jill wouldn't mind a little two-year-old coming up. She used to look after them all day. A psalm for living every day is what we've been looking at in the Sundays in August. And this morning, I'm going to take a look at Psalm 37. And our key word for the morning is delight. You say the word delight and you always think of angel delight. But this is a different sort of delight. This delight is to delight in something or someone, is to take pleasure or find enjoyment in it. So what are the things that delight you this morning? The things that make your heart smile. What are they? Turn to the person next to you. I haven't done this for so long. No, I'm a free woman now. Turn to the person and say, what delights you this morning? Something has to. You've got to have one thing. Good. Having decided that, I'll tell you that things that delight a Londoner. One of the things that delights a Londoner is listening to Americans pronouncing the name of London landmarks. No, I'm sorry, I have no idea where Leicester Square is. However, Leicester Square is just behind you. Or, for a Londoner, wandering down the South Bank, looking at the London skyline and feeling so wonderfully at home. You see, different things delight us. It's okay. They're all right. They're okay. They can run. I'm not worried about children. They're God's delight. Some of the things that have delighted me in recent weeks might have delighted you as well. You know, that moment when Tom Daley and Matt, whatever he was called, Matty Lee, got that gold medal. And all that he's been through, Tom Daley, in his life. You know, and he stood there and the tears are coming down. That delighted me. One day you might be a preacher. And also, another thing delighted me, I don't know if you saw the Fijian team before they played in the final, but all of them, oh, it's playtime, all of them got down on their knees to pray. Amazing moment. This moment got me as well. The moment when Gareth Southgate hugged Saka when he missed that penalty. It was just one of those moments. And for me this week, one of a delightful moment was hearing exam results. Not just this week, but do you know, we've got such a great bunch of youngsters here. We've got first class honours degrees from our students. We've got wonderful A-level results. We've got wonderful GCSEs this week. And I'd just like to say to you all, this is my proud face. Well done. But you see, different things delight us. Not all of you are delighted in how brilliant Chelsea are, but we have all a difference of delights. But if I add delight in God, then there should be no difference between any of us. When I say we are to delight in God, that is a for sure. That isn't a difference. Doesn't say, oh no, I don't do any of that. So this morning, I just want to take that delight in God, and what I'm going to say is not rocket science. You'll have heard it all before, but want to take it personally. So I want you to leave here this morning delighting in God. What does it mean? Sorry, restore to me the joy of my salvation. This is what got me thinking last week when I did Psalm 23. This is what Paul says. He says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delighting in God. What does it mean to delight in God, to take pleasure in God. Let's think about that for the moment, because to take delight in God is a response. It's a response to all that he has done and all that he is for each one of us. So let's just remind ourselves, God is grace. God is faithful. God is forgiving. God is faithful. God is forgiving. God is understanding. God is love. God is. Just for a moment, take in the enormity of what we're saying about God. Can we possibly sit back and not respond? Because when we grasp the enormity of what we're saying, it affects our head and our heart. The enormity is right here in our head, and it moves and transfers to our heart. You cannot not delight in God if you know all those things about God. And to take delight in God, it's deep-seated. You see, it's not all happy-clappy, wacky-do, bouncing up and down, our God is a great big God. It's not all about that. It's not dependent on our feelings or our circumstances. It's not an sort of external expression of something. It's deep down. It's seated. So are you ready for a question? Do I always take delight in God? Or if I was honest, is it sometimes a tad missing? Often, because I'm just kind of going through the motions. I would have to agree with you, and we would probably come to an agreement that sometimes our delight in God goes walkabouts, you know? Yes, it's deep-seated, but suddenly we forget about delighting in God. The Scottish preacher Andrew Gray said this, Often our delight is in this present life and not upon our God. Our worldly mindedness has eaten up all our love to God and has consumed all the delight we had in him. That was written in the 1600s. And I guess it could be equally true of 2021. When we take our focus off our source of delight, then it soon fades and it becomes history. And that's a wake-up call for us, isn't it? Let's never let our salvation or our delight in God become a historical thing of the past. May it be something for every day. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then into the next verse, David gives us some suggestions that probably as he's written that or as he's sitting there, God has whispered in his ear. Maybe David need to be reminded of these things. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he will do this. And then later on at the end of the psalm, he says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Do you see that commit and that trust? Do we find it easy? Do we find it easy to commit? Do we find it easy to trust? Do we find it easy to put both of those things together? And I think we don't. Yes, we commit things to God in prayer. We tick that box, and it's all sorted. But then do we really trust God? because God sees the big picture. Commit and trust as part of our delighting. But also, David says, we're to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Forget the before the Lord thing for a minute. What about the be still? That's challenging enough, isn't it? And we looked at that last week when we thought about he leads me beside still waters. Apparently experts say the stresses and strains of modern daily life, such as long working hours, coupled with growing reliance on mobile phones, emails and fast food, simply eat or whatever, mean we have simply forgotten how to slow down. Even during a pandemic, we've forgotten how to slow down. There was a father that was sat in his office at home and the door was open and his three-year-old son came in. And dad was a little impatient. He was getting on with stuff and, you know, he didn't want to be disturbed. He said, "What do you want?" And the boy replied, "Nothing." "Why did you come in then?" "Just because I wanted to be with you. Just because I wanted to be with you. To come into God's presence, just to be with God," is what David is saying to us in this psalm. Taking delight in God. But also, in that verse, it says, and wait patiently for him. Gosh, that's an alien word, isn't it? It's bad enough, commit and trust. But what about waiting, you know? Put your hands up if you're good at waiting. Good, I'm glad Sue hasn't got her hand up. Waiting, because we don't do waiting, because we live in this instant world. Many years ago, we did wait. We waited for our photos to be developed. We'd send them away to True Print, and then it would be a week before they came back. Now, two-year-olds look at your phone to see what your photo looks like. We're not used to waiting. And we also used to wait with envelopes with stamps on, and we waited for those letters. Now, if we translate that waiting in life to waiting for God, we're actually doing the same thing. We don't wait. One of my all-time great writers is somebody called John Ortberg. He's an American pastor, and he's written some excellent books. This is what he says. Biblically, waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. And in the waiting is God trying to grow us and develop us and help us to become more like him. It's worth thinking about that, because our goal is to be more like Jesus. So in the committing, in the trusting, in the stillness, in all of those things, in the waiting patiently, God wants to whisper into our ears. But the flip side of me or you delighting in God is that God delights in you. Did you know that? At this precise moment, God is going, "Woo, look at them at Enfield Baptist Church. Look how they've worshipped him this morning. It's been ecstatic." Well, ish. Yeah, he's delighted. He's delighting in you. God delights in me. We don't often take that on board because we're human and British, but the creator of the universe is delighted in you. Why wouldn't he be? He created you, so he's going to delight in you, even with all your faults. And maybe you find that hard to grasp, and it's pretty awesome, isn't it, to think about the fact that he wants to do that. But even you, when you're grumpy and unkind and you're watch too much television and you don't do the washing up and you're rubbish, God still delights in you. And all God's people then should say, amen. Because we don't deserve it half the time. In another part, in another psalm, this is what the psalmist says. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. One of the versions says in the legs of man. I'm thinking, well, I quite like men's legs. But anyway, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. And that Zephaniah says this, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. So as we were singing this morning, and as we were worshipping God, all those in heaven and those angels were singing over us. Isn't that a lovely thought? Doesn't need explanation. And I guess there was something that was behind David penning this psalm. Because he's going through an awful lot. He's fretting himself with his evil world and all around him. But he says, do not fret because of those who are evil. It's easy to fret, isn't it? It's easy. Just this weekend with all the news that we're hearing, it just seems to bombarded this weekend. Do not fret because of those who are evil. We are to take delight in the Lord. John Piper said, how can I come to delight in God? Pray for new taste buds on the tongue of your heart. That's what we want to do. So here's a psalm for living every day. To delight in God. To wait. To trust. To commit. And the only way that we can do that is by looking up. And I found a song that we're going to listen to now. Again, it's got graphics, or you might just want to listen. It's a singer who I've got to know and a lot during lockdown. I've picked up loads of her songs. I think she's got a beautiful voice. Her name is Lauren Daigle, if you want to YouTube her. And this song is called Look Up, Child.